does. He never lets go. Thank you, Everthirst. Well, we're continuing our study of the parables of Jesus. And today we find ourselves in the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke is one of those amazing books that share the tenderness, the humanness of Jesus, but also can show a demanding side of Jesus. And the passage that we're going to look at today for the parable is the conclusion of a pericope or a part of Luke's gospel, where in chapter 12 it begins with a judgment. Jesus is swarmed by thousands, it says. And they are there listening and trying to figure him out. And the first thing he says is, "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees." And then he goes on to tell a couple of parables. And then the third parable begins chapter 13. And right before it, the chapter in 12 ends with this phrase, "You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present times?" Jesus sounds a little scolding, and he goes on with this parable, Luke 13, 1 through 9, word of the Lord. "At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, 'Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse off offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did.' Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, 'See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I still find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?' And he replied, 'Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down.'" May God bless the reading of his word. Will you pray with me? You know, Luke is filled with tender moments, but it's also filled with challenging passages that make us face how we live our lives, who we are, who we want to be. As we examine this parable of Jesus, please open our hearts and minds to what you have to teach us. I pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. You know what? Even though this is a very severe parable, when you get to the bottom of it, it's an emphasis on life rather than death. The gardener and the owner were both aiming for productivity. The goal they had was life. They wanted this fig tree to produce its fruit, to be healthy, to do what it was meant to do. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament that this reminded me of. We're studying Exodus right now. We haven't got to Exodus 32 yet. In 32, it's 12 chapters after the Ten Commandments, but it is apparent that it happens immediately after that. And the key is that Moses is up on Mount Sinai. The clouds are gathered and the people are witnessing some amazing experience down below, like clouds and thunder, and it scares them. But when he stays there for quite a while, because from chapter 20 to chapter 32, God is giving him lots of advice. The people get tired. They get scared. They wonder what happened to Moses. And so they begin using all the silver and gold that they took from the Egyptians and building what we know as the golden calf. A calf was something they would have related to in Egypt, because Egypt worshipped animals and had great edifices to them. And the part of the story that really gets me is when Moses is up there talking with God, God tells him, I'm going to destroy these people because they are building a golden calf. And Moses says, well, wait a minute, these are your people. They were given a divine status by you. And I don't think you should harm them. And Moses continued on saying, I think these people are scared and need your love, God. God went back at Moses and said, you know what? I've given them love. I have done so much for them. And they so quickly leave me. And then he says, I'm furious with these people. And Moses comes back and says, well, God, I think if you are going to destroy these people, then destroy me. He literally says, write my name out of your book of life. And God says, okay, I will spare them. You know, Jesus' parable is a lot like that. It's standing up for somebody that's maybe questionable, but you see something in them that's good. You see something in them that's valuable. And there's a kind of audacity in this gardener's role, isn't it? The master says, cut it down. And he says, oh, you know, wait a second. Give me a year. But he doesn't just say, give me a year. He says, give me a year and I will do two things. I will prune and water it, and I will put fertilizer on it. So he promises to work on that tree. He says, if you come back in a year and it is still not giving fruit, cut it down, burn it. See, the truth is, we're kind of impatient people, aren't we? And this COVID experience has just increased our impatience. Because when you're alone, you begin to think how things should be. And you're not in dialogue with other people who are saying, well, maybe not. And so we are an impatient culture. Faster computers, faster cars, quicker ways of banking. All these things are innovations that just speed up our lives. And we forget the part that defines us as a family related to one another, humankind. We forget because we're impatient. The master had some impatience for this tree. Well, we don't actually know that because it says he came year after year. So he had given it a lot of time. But Moses encouraged him just a little more. Just a little more, because it's maybe a slow-growing tree. Who do you have patience for in your life? You see, the truth is, a slow-growing tree needs tender care. It needs to be well-treated, and it needs time. And that's what this parable is suggesting to us, that each of us need those nourishments. So he says, let it alone for a year. And during that waiting time, you know, we don't like waiting. We don't like waiting on God's timing. But this parable tells us to wait with the end in mind. And the end is that COVID will end. Life will go on. We're seeing that already. Blessings will be given to us. You know, even though we know that, it's hard. It came to me while I was preparing this that how I felt running my first marathon. I've run 6, I think. But I remember the first one the best because though I'd trained 5 miles a day for months to get ready for it, 26 miles is nothing like 5 miles. And you hit that wall at 20 and you just want to stop. It reminds me of times like that, but the gardener says, let's give it one more push. My running partner said, keep going, keep going. You can make it. You can make it past the wall. And you know, the truth is, God will be with us to make it past the wall of selfishness, of greed, of thinking our way is the only way. It'll open us to seek God. Because once we let go of who we think we have to be, we can open ourselves to the possibilities of what God can make us. Amen?